That's a wonderful thought. How great is our God? I want to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to talk about God today. We sang how great He is. Let's learn about how great He is. Amen? Let me make a recommendation for you for reading. There's a little book written by A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. I've read that book about 12 times. It's an incredible book, and it gives you just a snapshot of what God is like. Goes through His attributes and His character. It's a wonderful little book. I'm going to quote some things from Tozer this morning in the sermon because he says it so well. Listen to this. A.W. Tozer said, "A right concept of God is basic not only to systematic theology, but to practical Christian living as well." Our system, our system of theology is based upon what we know, can learn, can understand about God. If He is who He says He is, then the things that He says are true. If He is not who He says He is, then the things that He says are not true. Thank God that God is who He says He is. When we think about God and what we think about God may be rightly or wrongly attributed to Him depending on its truthfulness. There's a lot of silly concepts about God. Depending on what we know about God will determine what we understand about our beliefs in the Word of God. Tozer went on to say, we ask things like, what is God like? What kind of God is He? Or how may we expect Him to act? Such questions are not merely academic. They touch the far reaches of the human spirit, and their answers affect our lives, our character, and our destiny. The Word of God provides the answers. It tells us about God. He can be known. He's not hiding. Isaiah 40 is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, I'd love to go through the whole book of Isaiah, and this whole chapter. But listen to this. Isaiah 40 is a particular chapter that points us to God. In chapter 40, verses 1 through 8, it tells us about God's mighty word. Listen to this. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen? The first 8 verses of Isaiah 40 tell us about God's mighty word. Verses 9 through 11 tell us about God's great might. verses 12 through 17 tell us about God's majesty. Who hath measured the water in a span? And meted out heaven with his hand, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. God. Think of that. Who hath measured out the world in a span? You know what a span is? The world. That's a span. That's God. Isn't that incredible? Verses 18 through 24 tell us about God alone. There's nobody like him. They make idols out of wood and stone and make things they think that would be a god and then bow and worship to these stone images, these wooden things they build, and there is no God but our God. He's the alone God. He's the one and only. Verses 25 through 31 tell us about God's inexhaustive character. You can't exhaust the character of God. You can't know all there is to know about him. We know about this much. And this morning I want you to see God in maybe a different light than you normally see him. I would like to give you four essential truths about God, truths that I hope will help each of us form a more appropriate understanding of God. Amen? There's some crazy things going around about God. And even in Christendom, there's things that people have come up with that just simply are not true. But what I have to say to you today are all true. They're right from the Word of God. So let's look at these things. God can be known, amen? In the Bible, there are three ways that God can be known. You need to write these down. Number one, God can be known through creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork." You look out across the sky, you see God. Every cloud in the sky reminds us of God. When the lightning strikes, you know there's a God. You go through the forest and see the trees, there's a God. The animal life proves there's a God. These things just didn't appear or grow from one species to another. They were made by God. We can know God through creation. Secondly, we can know God through his word. Psalm 46:10 says, here's the word of God, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen? Sometimes you just need to quiet down and hear his voice as he speaks to you. So we can know God through creation. We can know God through his word. And thirdly, I love this, we can know God through the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:27 says, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are gospel books that are written so that we can see God. No man hath seen God at any time. So, John 1:18 says, the only beloved Jesus who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That word means put him on display. When you see Jesus walk in Galilee, you're watching God. When you see him work his miracles, you're seeing God do work. When you see him heal the leper, he is being God. When you see him quiet the sea, he is acting as God. Jesus Christ came to reveal the God whom we did not know and whom we now can know in a very personal way. So I have four things I want you to see. Just four and we'll be done. Truth number one, I want to write this down. Truth number one, so Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Don't you like that? What? Jacob, Israel, don't you know? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, listen to this, fainteth not. All God's people said. Here's a first thought. He fainteth not. Doesn't grow weary. Doesn't wear out. He fainteth not. Verse goes on to say, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. They use the most important name for God that Israel could use to describe the God that fainteth not, the Lord. Then they said he's the creator of the ends of the earth, that Lord. He fainteth not. Has a thought of one, that word faint has a thought of one who is overcome with weariness, cannot continue, may collapse. Have you ever felt that way? You're overcome with stress or heartache or sorrow. We grow weary. But wearisome to us will not be wearisome to God. He has not the capacity to be weary, to grow weary, to feel weary. He is completely incapable of such feelings. You get that? He can't grow weary. He can't faint. But he does care about us. He fainteth not. It's impossible for him to be unmindful of our needs, of our circumstances, of our sorrows. He fainteth not. We may faint. We may grow weary. But he fainteth not. And because he fainteth not, he has the capacity to always be there for you. He's not asleep, not resting. The rest of this verse says, there is no searching of his understanding. He fainteth not. There's no searching of his understanding. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. There is no way to measure the extent of his understanding. Wrap your mind around that for a second. Nor to measure the depth of his understanding. He understands everything. There is nothing that you know about you that God does not and has not already known. What are you going to do tomorrow? God already knows. What time will you get up in the morning tomorrow? God already knows. What circumstances will you face? God already knows. There's nothing that you know about you that God does not already know. There is nothing that you are facing that God does not fully and completely understand. Everything about you is already known to God. Wherever you are, wherever you are going, whatever you must face, whatever you must do, get this, He has already been there. It's called foreknowledge. He has already been there. And though you may feel like you're about to faint, or you're so weary that you feel like you can't go on, He comes back from where you're going to get you and carry you there so that you can understand that God fainteth not. Holy mackerel. That's an incredible God. God fainteth not. Psalm 139 says, Thou knowest my downsittings, my uprisings. You understand my thoughts afar off. You know everything about me. Everything. We have a God who does not faint, cannot faint, cannot grow weary. There's no searching of His understanding. That's enough for today, amen? Let's look at point number two. Psalm 121, 4 and 5 says this, Behold, listen very carefully, Behold, he that keepeth Israel, listen to this, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. He neither slumbers nor, write this down, he sleepeth not. How many of you like to sleep? How many of you find rest when you sleep? I had a terrible night last night. I've got something wrong with my shoulder and my neck. I can't tell you how bad the pain is, but it's beyond imaginable. It's just terrible. My right arm is... And I couldn't sleep last night. I was up and down and down and up and over and under and round and through, and it's crazy. So I didn't sleep. But that doesn't mean I'm like God. I was tired. I was wore out. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Listen to this. If he fainteth not, surely he has no need of sleep, all God's people. He shall not slumber nor sleep. How wonderful and assuring to think that no form, listen to this, no form of unconsciousness ever steals over him. Neither slumber nor sleep. He will never suffer the intruder to break in. He is ever on the watch. He doesn't wait, sit in a corner, and begin to get tired. He's incapable of that. It's hard for me to conceive someone who never sleeps. But he never sleeps because he doesn't have to sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Even when you feel the most alone, you are never alone. Even when you feel the most broken, he's not asleep. He's there keeping watch over you, sustaining you, putting you back together when you're broken. How great is the God that sleepeth not. But listen to Psalm 127:2. If God sleepeth not, Psalm 127:2 is right for us. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. Why? For the one that sleepeth not giveth his beloved sleep. No matter how bad or how tragic it may seem to you, God gives you sleep. And you can sleep because he does not sleep. You can rest because he does not need to rest. You can close your eyes and trust in the God that is wide awake, ever present, always knowing, the God who fainteth not and the God who sleepeth not. What a God we have. What an incredible God is our God. He sleepeth not. It says in that verse, he giveth his beloved rest because he sleepeth not. He is the one keeping you. Hey, he is the one keeping you, not you. Don't let the devil ruin you by accepting his lie that God is not there for you. Nothing can be farther from the truth. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And verse 5 emphatically says, the Lord is thy keeper. He has chosen to keep you. He is able to keep you. He is keeping you. He will always keep you. The story is told about the captain of a ship. This man was an incredible captain. Sailed ships through the roughest of weathers and always arrived at the shore properly. One of these sailing ventures, his daughter was there. And there was a rich woman staying in the same cabin as his daughter. And a storm came that was so ferocious, was tossing the boat to and fro. This woman began to get frantic and fearful. She sat up in her bed, nearly rocked out of her bed. She looked across the way and saw that little girl sleeping as an angel. She was just so comfortable sleeping. She looked at her for a while and the boat's turning again and she barely got over to the bed. She wakes the little girl up. She said, hey, why are you sleeping? She said, my father's on the deck. Why are you sleeping? Your father's on the deck. Why weary yourself? Your father's on the deck. A little poem that goes along with that story says, fear not the windy tempest wild. Your ship, it cannot wreck. Lay down and sleep, my helpless child. Your father's on the deck. God is there. He fainteth not. He sleepeth not. There's a third truth, Zephaniah 3:5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. God's incapable of that. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He listen to this, he faileth not, all God's people said. Now, in the context, this verse is telling us that God's justice is sure, that he will accomplish justice, and everything he sets out to do, he will accomplish. But that truth, he fainteth not, is eternal. It's part of God's character. It means he has a fidelity that is absolute, an inability to fail. He faileth not. Only as we have complete assurance that he faileth not will we live in peace and look forward with assurance in our hearts. What would our lives be like if God was incapable of truly being without failure? What would happen if God could fail? God could fail, his word fails. If God can fail, his promises fail. If God can fail, his salvation fails. If God can fail, there's no heaven. There's no peace. There's no hope. There's only drudgery and trying to save our own lives or do our own things or make ourselves better. I'm so thankful that we have a providential God watching over us, taking care of us, standing behind each and every holy promise, supplying us with each and every holy provision. You and I may fail, but he faileth not. What a God. This wonderful assurance ought to keep us going. We may fall, and we will, but knowing he will never fail will help us get back up and get back in the race. Do you remember Joshua chapter 1, verse 5? Moses died. Joshua now was supposed to lead the people of Israel. Holy moly, think of that. Possibly 4,000 people. He was confident in Moses' ability. In fact, he viewed God through Moses' eyes. Now he's got to face the incredible responsibility to move Israel into the promised land. And he's just, I don't know about you, overwhelmed. God says to him, comes to him as the captain of his salvation and says these few words, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I think he wanted a great dissertation, some long answer or some kind, God to do something and maybe move a mountain or dry up the water or do something. He wanted God to do something. God said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. There's nothing you're going to face that I can't take care of. Moses came to the Red Sea. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. When people came to attack, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. God is in the taking care of business because he faileth not. God says to Joshua, I'm not dead. I'm the same as I have always been and have not diminished one bit. I'm not weary now. My strength is not gone. I am not feeble. I'm God, and as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Maybe we ought to think about that. You get in a tight spot, look at that verse and say, God's the same. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. He fainteth not. He sleepeth not. He faileth not. We can trust him with everything, trust him in everything, trust him through everything, because he faileth not. There's one more truth found in Malachi 3:6. God speaking to the prophet Malachi and says, "For I am the Lord. I change not," all God's people said. "He fainteth not. He sleepeth not. He faileth not. He changeth not. If he changed, the sons of Jacob, according to this verse, would have been consumed, and so should everyone else." God cannot change. His perfection forever rules out any such possibility. God cannot change for the better. You can make improvements, amen? There's nothing God improves on. He's already perfect. He cannot change for the better, since he is perfectly holy. He can never be less holy than he is now, nor more holy than he is on his average day. Neither was God. Can God change for the worse? Any deterioration within the unspeakable holy nature of God is impossible. One who can suffer any slight degree of change is neither self-existent, self-sufficient, nor eternal. He is not God. So when the Bible says God cannot change, he's immutable, then you can trust all the other attributes of God to be true. In a world that changes daily and with people who change their attitudes, their actions, their minds, their likes and dislikes, like a chameleon changes his color, how wonderful to know that there is a God in heaven who never changes. And coming to him at any time, we need not wonder whether we shall find him in a receptive mood. Amen? We don't knock on his door and go, "Oh boy." We don't do any of that. He is ever receptive, ever willing to hear us, to help us. He's always there because he never changes. He does not keep office hours. How many of you ever went to a doctor? Had an 11 o'clock appointment. You got to see her at 2. How many know what I'm talking about? Does that bite you? That make you angry? You know what I did one time? I had a doctor, and it was always hard to get in to see her. So I called, and I used my theological degree. I said, "This is Dr. Saunders. I would like to make an appointment." Name the doctor. "I'll be there in 15 minutes. Guess what? I didn't even walk to the receptionist. I walked right through the office, right into the room, sat down. In came the doctor. She said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "That's the only way I could get to see you. I used my doctor." In fact, I used my name doctor one time to order a test for myself. Shame on me. They wouldn't get it ordered. I ordered it. But when you go into God's reception room, you don't wait 15 minutes. You don't wait 10 minutes. You don't wait 5 minutes. He is instantaneously there. You walk in, you meet him. You walk in, you talk to him. You walk in, he meets with you. You walk in, he sees you. You walk in, he hears you. Does not keep office hours, nor set aside periods when he will see no one. He never changes. He does not change his mind about us or towards us. He feels towards us exactly as he has always felt toward us. He never changes. He does not cool off in his affection or lose his love for us. He never changes. We worship the God who never changes. What a God. He fainteth not, nor is he ever weary. The mighty one whose arm is strong to save, he gives strength to aid the fainting pilgrim, and to the weak, the courage to be brave. He sleepeth not, his eyelids closing never. His children, are kept within his sight. The fallen one he lifts and ever seeketh the straying feet to lead back to the light. He fainteth not. His faithfulness abideth. All others may, yet he is ever true. His fear nots glow with comfort for the troubled. The faithful guide will lead the journey through. He changeth not. Our great high priest forever, within the veil for us he intercedes. This is our hope, an anchor sure and steadfast, fixed firm in him who knoweth all we need. He fainteth not. He sleepeth not. He faileth not. He changeth not. Good night. What a God. Lord, help us to be able to grasp more firmly your greatness when we think about these four little words. He fainteth not. He sleepeth not. He faileth not. He changeth not. You are the great and holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, God of glory, and you're our God. And we can trust you because of these things. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.